The first reading is taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 to 21. And you can find this on the Bibles on 1018, page 1018. So that's 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 16 to 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honour and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice from the heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is taken from Luke, and it's chapter 4, starting at verse 14. And you can find that on page 859 of the Bibles. So Luke, chapter 4, starting at verse 14, on page 859. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendants and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all who spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Becky, for that double whammy. If you'd like to keep that passage open, that will be a help. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as you came to your own hometown in the power of the Spirit of God, come to us now. Open our eyes to who you really are and why you came. Have mercy on us, Lord, in case we miss the meaning of all this. For your great name's sake. Amen. Well, I don't know if any of you have seen the film Yesterday. Don't worry, I'm not going to give away the whole plot. Nothing that you couldn't see on the trailer, just in case you're hoping to see it. But it's about a struggling musician from Lowestoft in East Anglia. And he is struggling, and his name is Jack, and his career is really going nowhere. He's on the point of giving up. And then, through a strange combination of circumstances, basically a kind of worldwide power cut, Jack has an accident. Collides on a bus while he's cycling along. When he finally comes round from the accident, the world is exactly as it was before, except for one thing. Nobody knows anything about the Beatles. The whole world has forgotten the Beatles. That's why the film's called Yesterday, because Jack is strumming away on his guitar and singing Yesterday, All My Troubles Seem So Far Away. And his friends listening are astonished. Where did you get this? Well, of course, he's the only person who remembers all those songs. And gradually it dawns on him that this could be quite profitable. So he starts to play the Beatles songs. And of course, the news spreads. And eventually a promoter hears him and whisks him off to America. I'm shortening the film quite a lot. And he makes a whole album of Beatles songs. And this is going to be a worldwide sensation. It's going to be promoted everywhere, and it's going to be the biggest thing ever. And where does Jack go back to launch this album? He goes back to Lowestoft. Little Lowestoft. And of course, it's sensational. The beach is packed with people, and there's a wonderful scene that I won't describe because it'll spoil the end of the film for you. But the point about all this, of course, is that when a celebrity comes home, it causes a sensation. And that's exactly what we find in a real-life example in our second reading today. When Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth, it caused a sensation. He had already been traveling through Galilee, through that region, and teaching, and everybody was talking about him. They were astonished. And so, of course, when he comes back to Nazareth, little village on a hillside, inland, nobody thought anything of it. People there were agog. The word went round. You know all this news about Jesus? Well, he's come back. He's here. And, of course, they knew him well. They knew his family. He'd grown up there. They'd seen him grow from a child to a boy to a young man. And they assumed that they knew everything about him. So when he comes back, having made a name for himself, of course, they are amazed and proud. They want to see him. The streets are packed. Nobody usually took any notice of people from Nazareth. Yet here was this local lad making such an impact. And the questions they asked are rather similar to the questions in the film. In the film, you see Jack's playing all this wonderful music, and people are saying, where did this come from? You know, suddenly he's playing wonderful, wonderful songs. Where did it come from? And it was like that with Jesus and his teaching. People said, where did this come from? All spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? What a revealing question. Is not this Joseph's son? It's a revealing question because right from the beginning of Luke's gospel, it's been absolutely crystal clear that the answer to that question is a resounding no. He is not. Joseph, a very good man, had kind of adopted him, but he was not Joseph's son. All the way through the first chapter of Luke, we're told that a very special event is coming, and that then is announced to a young virgin called Mary by the angel Gabriel in those famous, famous words, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, we hear that every Christmas and at other times, and we kind of take it for granted. It sort of, goes over our heads. But this is the heart of the matter, that Jesus came into the world by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by any human decision, not through any human agency, but by the power of the Spirit of God. The Son of God, the eternal Son of God, came into the world. And as Luke narrates these events, he's drumming into us the fact that Jesus always comes in the power of the Spirit. So he comes to be baptized in the power of the Spirit. There it is in our stained glass window. The Holy Spirit came upon him afresh when God acknowledged him as his beloved Son at his baptism. And then the Holy Spirit drives him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So Jesus always comes in the power of his Spirit. He never comes in any other way. And of course, that's exactly how he came to Galilee. Verse 14, the very first verse of our reading. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And a report about him went out through all the surrounding countryside." So, do you see how Luke has deliberately built up this picture of Jesus coming in the power of his Spirit? That's how he came then, and that's how he still comes to us today. We can't see him, of course, but actually that's an advantage. So we should not be in danger of making the same mistake they did. They had some excuse for it. We wouldn't have any excuse. Because we have 2,000 years of Christian history, we have the whole Bible, all leading up to and pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have his Spirit amongst us and in us. So we have no excuse for not knowing and believing and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. We should never fall into the trap of assuming we know all about him. We've always much, much more to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, his greatness, his power, and his glory. And that's why God gave us his Spirit. Not just that, so that we feel good about ourselves, but so that we get to know his Son and receive him into our lives together. Now, Jesus, of course, is our friend and our brother. He's close to us by his Spirit. What a precious truth that is as we go through our lives. But he's also Lord. We must never, ever forget who he is. God the Son, the eternal second person of the Trinity. He comes to us in a special way when we meet together. He promised, didn't he? Especially to be with us when we meet together here on a Sunday morning. We belong together. His Spirit draws us together. He meets with us by his Spirit as we meet together. He is the head of the church, and he rules us by his Spirit and his Word. One day we will see him for ourselves. One day he'll come back for us in the mighty power of his Spirit. And we need to be ready for that day and help one another to be ready. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus still comes to his people. By the power of the Holy Spirit, secondly, Jesus fulfills the scriptures. You see, when he arrived back in Nazareth, he did what he always did. He went to church. Well, went to the synagogue, actually. And he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Now, we have books. Christians invented books because, this is a precious book. We need to be able to look things up. But before Christians invented books, they had scrolls. Jews still do, don't they? That's how they read their scriptures. And he asked for the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Actually, probably one of several scrolls, because you can't get much in a scroll
and Isaiah's a long book. So Jesus knew exactly what he wanted. He said, I'll have scroll number 3 of the prophet Isaiah, please. So they brought it to him. It was unrolled. It was, to the Jews, a very sacred object. But Jesus read it to them. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Wow. So 700 years before, the prophet Isaiah had foreseen that the day would one day come where God poured out the whole power of his Spirit onto one man, his servant. And it would have a revolutionary effect. It would mean good news for the poor, freedom for the prisoners, sight for the blind, release for the oppressed and captives. All signs of God's mercy. What do they all have in common? They're all helpless, powerless, in need of the power of God to save them. Just like us. Just like everyone. It was wonderful news, wasn't it? But they'd been waiting for 7 centuries. And I dare say they'd actually begun to think it was never going to happen. You can imagine what they were thinking. Well, we've been waiting for this for a long time. And it's all very well coming to read this out to us. We know this very well. We're longing for it. But when will it take place? I'm sorry to perhaps bring a rather controversial subject in, but it's a bit like Brexit. You know, those who want Brexit have been waiting a very long time. Those who don't want Brexit are hoping it will never happen. But it certainly hasn't happened yet. They all wanted this. How could you not want it? The year of the Lord's favor? Of course. But they didn't think it was going to happen. So they waited to see what Jesus would say next. Would he have a timetable? Would he say, well, you know, in 3 or 4 years' time, if we do this and this and that, maybe it will happen. Not a bit of it. Here's what happened next. And Jesus rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today! What an astonishing thing to say. Can you imagine the ripples going out amongst the crowd? Today? What does he mean, today? How can that be? How? Where? Remember, they just thought Jesus was a local lad. Got a bit of a reputation as a teacher and a healer. Got quite famous in Galilee. But this is in another league altogether. Surely this is way beyond his pay grade. How can he say today? You see, they didn't recognize who he was. They ignored the bit about the Spirit of God. They ignored what their own scriptures clearly said. They'd lost faith in it, as we shall see. This wasn't like a politician setting out a program, making extravagant promises that he probably couldn't ever fulfill. This was God himself bringing the fulfillment of his own word. But they weren't really listening, were they? They weren't really listening to God's word. They saw this just as Jesus making unbelievable claims. They didn't recognize the power of the Spirit amongst them. And that's revealed in what Jesus said next. And Jesus said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. Okay, young man, you claim to fulfill Isaiah's words, and we hear you did great things over at Capernaum. Do them here. Prove it. We want to see some miracles. Such a common trap, isn't it? They wanted a special deal. And we can fall into that trap too, you see. It's not enough that by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus came to fulfill the word of God. We want special evidence now, just for us. Someone once told me of a deal they tried to make with God. It's a sad story, really. He'd sat in the porch at Toft Church many years ago now, and he'd made a deal with God, as he thought. He said, "God, I will believe in you if you heal my wife of cancer." See, it doesn't work like that, as sadly he discovered. God doesn't do special deals. There is only one deal available. It's a great deal, but it involves trusting Jesus. And I think one of the most encouraging signs of growth in our Christian lives is where we come to believe that Jesus does fulfill Scripture, that he does keep his promises, not because we've got special proof of that, but because we trust him, because we've grasped why he came, that he's kept every promise so far, that he's gone through so much for us, and he won't leave any promise unfulfilled in the end. He has fulfilled that great prophecy of Isaiah. He has brought mercy to the helpless, including you and me, if we're believers. And he will keep every other promise one day, in his own time, in his own way. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus fulfills the Scriptures. Thirdly and finally, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus challenges our unbelief. Sadly, unbelief was what Jesus found in Nazareth, wasn't it? He quoted a proverb to explain why that was. And he said, "Truly, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown." It was a proverbial saying. We could translate it into our modern day. I could ask the question, who finds it hardest to concentrate on the sermon on a Sunday morning? It's the preacher's family. See? They know him too well. And that's how they felt. We know this guy. He's grown up with us. How can he make these outrageous claims? What a mistake to make. But you know, it's a mistake that we can even make now. We can imagine that we've got it all sussed, all neat and tidy, and how wrong we are. We can think we know all about Jesus, but we really don't. And Jesus strongly challenged their mistake and the mistake that we can make. He reminded them and asked of two famous Old Testament incidents. The first was in the ministry of the prophet Elijah. You'll remember that God had shut up the heavens, no water, no rain. There was a terrible drought and famine because of the people's unfaithfulness. And everybody was starving, including one poor widow in Zarephath, a Gentile area. So she wasn't a Jew. She wasn't part of the people of God. And prophet Elijah went to her and said, "Give me something to eat and drink." And she said, "Okay, but it's all we've got." And Elijah said, "Oh no, it isn't. Because you believe God's word, you won't run out of food and drink until the famine comes to an end." Sure enough, this poor widow and her son were fine, were provided for all through the famine. And said Jesus, they were the only ones. A Gentile widow and her son were saved because they believed the promises of God, the word of God. And all those others in the people of Israel who knew the whole history of God's faithfulness failed to trust him. It's powerful, isn't it? It's powerful. And of course, we know much more than they did. Or take the example, said Jesus, of Naaman the Syrian. I have painful memories at school of spelling his name wrong and having to write it out 500 times. But Naaman the Syrian was a big shot commander of the Syrian army. Notice that, the enemies. Big enemy chief who got leprosy. And he had a little servant girl, a little Israelite servant girl, who said to him, "Well, master, you might like to go and talk to a new prophet, Elisha, in Israel, because, you know, he's got the word of God." And Naaman huffed and puffed, but off he went to Elisha and said to Elisha, "Okay, what's the deal?" Elisha said, "Right, this is the deal. You need to humble yourself, big shot, and bathe in this muddy little stream here, Jordan, 3 times. And Naaman looked askance at this and said, "I've got better rivers back home." But Elisha said, "Well, take it or leave it." And he took it. And he believed, even, albeit reluctantly, the word of God. And he was healed of his leprosy. And he was the only one. There were loads of lepers in Israel, but none of them believed the word of God. Can you see how upsetting that would have been to the people of Nazareth? Can you see how the finger was pointing at them? But then can you see how much more terrible and inexcusable it will be if we fail to trust God's word? We have so much more to go on than they did. Now, they hated this, and they tried to chuck Jesus off a cliff, but it wasn't his time yet. And we're much kind of politer and less violent than them, but inside, we can still chuck Jesus off a cliff. Inside, we can say, "No way." And sadly, many people in churches do. These people were in church, remember? They were in the synagogue. They were hearing the word of God and disbelieving it. Now, friends, we do need to search our hearts. And we do need to bear in mind that on a Sunday morning when we come to church, we're going to hear the word of God, and we may not always like it. It would be a strange thing if we did. And when we don't like it, granted that preachers are fallible, it may just be a sign of unbelief in us. So let's be open to that. Because as a matter of fact, if we take that on board, it's a sign of mercy. It's a sign that the promise has come true. This is the year of the Lord's favor and forgiveness. And by his grace alone, he's made us part of it. Amen.